Our worship team and hospitality teams have encouraged me to designate next Sunday as How Sweet It Is Sunday. And I'm to preach a sermon titled How Sweet It Is, and you are invited to bring something sweet to eat so we can have a big sweet fest after the service in the social hall. So if you have a good cake or pie or cookie or dessert recipe, this week is the week to break it out for How Sweet It Is Sunday. So I am really organized since I already have the sermon title for next Sunday. Unfortunately, the same could not be said about this Sunday. It was just one of those weird, weird weeks that happened once in a while when I had meetings and events every day of the week from morning to midnight. And then yesterday we had the love walk and we had the art sale. And wow, I just couldn't put in the time that I needed to put in to create a new and worthwhile sermon. But every minister should have three or four sermons in their back pocket for such an occasion. And for those of you who have been here for many years and have heard this sermon before, I apologize, forgive me. But at least it's a sermon. Can you turn me up just a hair, please? But at least it's a sermon I enjoy offering. And a sermon about a very important topic, relationships. Connecting with other people, building bridges, be it with spouse, your child, your parent, family and friends, and enemies. Now, the genesis of the sermon was a car drive I took over 20 years ago. My car had broken down. It was in the shop, but thanks to my in-laws, we were a two-car family. And so I borrowed Sherry's car. And as I was driving, I turned the power on for the radio, but Sherry had a CD that had been playing. And so when I turned the power on, the music from the CD came on, which was the soundtrack from the movie Sleepless in Seattle, which is a very, very good film that has an even better soundtrack. It has a wide variety of songs that feature different styles of music with different vocalists from different eras. One of the songs I was listening to was sung by Joe Cocker. If you're not familiar with Joe Cocker, he was an English rock and roll performer. Was at Woodstock. He was known for his gritty, gravelly, raspy voice, and for making spasmodic movements as he sang. One of his songs went like this: "You are so beautiful to me. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? You're everything I hope for. You're everything I need. You are so beautiful to me." Right. Now, can you imagine saying to someone, "I know this guy who sounds like he is chewing glass when he sings, and he's going to sing a real slow song that just slowly repeats the same phrase over and over and over again, and it's going to be at the top of the charts for a long, long time." I don't think most people would have believed you. I loved Joe Cocker, but I'm sure there were many people who weren't drawn to his music. My grandmother, for instance, I could see her shaking her head now. "You call that music? How can you listen to that stuff? What's the world coming to?" And so I'm thinking about this as I'm driving and listening to the soundtrack, and then something cool really happened. I hear two more singers on the CD who have worse voices than Joe Cocker. Here's the really, really strange part. My grandmother loved them. I mean, she really loved them. My mother loved them. I even loved them.
Hello, darling. Well, hello, darling. It's so nice to have you back where you belong.
I mean, what in the world was that? Do you know what a toadfish is? Have you ever caught a toadfish? I think if a toadfish could sing, that is what it would sound like.
Hello, darling.
If our choir sounded like that on their anthem today, you would not be back here next week. Louis Armstrong had perhaps the strangest voice of all time. And then another song started playing from the CD.
Ink, a dink, a dink, a dink, a dink, a dink, a dink.
Jimmy Durante had an even gravelier voice than Joe Cocker. Not only did Jimmy Durante sound like a cement mixer, he could not hold a note. Everything was chopped off. Ink, a dink, a dink, a dinky dink. And my grandmother is complaining about Joe Cocker? Jimmy Durante and Louis Armstrong would not be able to make it into the Savannah Arts Academy today. But they will go down in history as two of the most beloved, most successful performers of all time. And I'm wondering, how did they do it? How did they get people to like them when their singing voices made Joe Cocker sound like a nightingale? How were they able to cross generational boundaries? How did they connect with people and build incredible bridges with them? First of all, they were their unique selves. They didn't try to be or sound like anyone else. They were as authentic as you can get. There are many people with incredible voices who can't make a living in the entertainment business. There are a lot of people who sing very, very good technical singers, great sound, but they don't have a unique sound. Jimmy and Louie had a unique sound. That's what made them different and special. You have a unique sound as a person. Be that person. Be real, open, authentic. One of the keys to building relationships is to being real. To be authentic and honest. Warts and all. Another thing that Jimmy and Louie had, what they knew was that phrasing makes all the difference. Phrasing makes all the difference. They might not have had good voices, but they knew that what you say and how you say it and when you say it can make a big difference. Go home and Google Jimmy Durante singing. You can see some of his live performances, but he doesn't really sing songs. He basically speaks them. And when he speaks a beautiful slow ballad, he'll have you in tears. And when he speaks a fast upbeat song, he will have you laughing. He was so good with his interpretation and with his phrasing. But that phrasing, folks, didn't just happen. It took practice. It took thoughtfulness. He had to think through the entire song and process it. And so when we speak to someone, it should be thought through. We should think before we speak. We should process it. Or before we email. Or before we text or Twitter. As we build relationships, we should ask ourselves, is this the right thing to say? Is it the right way to say it? Is it the right time to say it? Am I saying it when I'm stressed out or angry or when I'm calm and rational? Is it the right tone to say it in? Is it the right attitude? Ask yourself, how do you think this person will hear it? Or better yet, if I was in that person's place, in their shoes, what would I want to hear? Phrasing is extremely important. What you say and how you say it, and when you say it, makes a big difference. And by the way, related to this is asking ourselves, how do we deal with anger? How do we deal with our anger? Anger can affect our phrasing. Everyone gets angry, and anger in itself is okay, of course. The question is, do we deal with it? Do we get it under control, or do we let it control us? Do I have so much stress in my life that I'm having trouble dealing with anger, and I need to find a way to lower the stress? All of this makes a difference in building relationships. Another quality these two performers exuded was love for people, a love for their audience. When you watched Jimmy and Louie perform, you sensed that they really cared about you, and people in turn cared about them. Jesus said, "What you give will be given back to you. Be interested in people, and they will be interested in you." Be curious. Get to know them. Listen. Remember how Jesus asked Zacchaeus to come down from the tree? We all learned that story when we were a child. And the way most of us heard it was that Jesus came to town and there was crowds. And Zacchaeus was so short he couldn't see Jesus. So he climbed a sycamore tree so he could get a better look at Jesus. If you read the text carefully, you will discover it doesn't designate who's short in that story. It could have been Jesus. And I kind of, as a short person, kind of think it was Jesus. Richard Allen says, no, Jesus was the tall one and Zacchaeus was the short one. But nevertheless, Zacchaeus climbed the tree, and taller people are usually better at climbing trees. So he was trying to look down in the crowd at the short Jesus. And of course, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Nobody liked him. No one wanted to be around him. And what did Jesus do? He took it to Zacchaeus. He could have walked on. He was interested in Zacchaeus. And he said, let's go have lunch together. Let me get to know you and you me. He built a bridge. This was a transforming moment. Give, and it will be given to you. The fact is, we are ego-centered people. We all like to talk about ourselves and share our stories and what's happening with us. But try listening first. And not just being quiet for a while waiting for your turn to talk. But really active listening. Asking questions. Being curious. It will do wonders for you if you start being curious about others. One of the most famous songs that Jimmy Durante sang was Make Someone Happy. The lyrics are, love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Make someone happy, and it will make you happy too. If you want people to start caring about you, care about them first. Another thing we observe about Louie and Jimmy is that they were very flexible and adaptable. Both Louis Armstrong and Jimmy Durante thrived in jazz music. They played jazz their entire life. It was their specialty. If you play jazz, folks, you have to be flexible. You have to be open to spontaneity. You have to go with the flow and be adaptable to change. Being flexible and adaptable is really an act of faith, isn't it? It's saying, all will be okay, no matter what. Let's go for it. I love seeing the old Jimmy Durante shows with Jimmy doing a sketch in front of a live studio audience. And the best moments happen when something goes wrong in the script. Wrong in the skit. When someone or some prop messes up and Jimmy has to improvise. It's the best part. You can tell he's comfortable with it. He has fun with it. He's able to laugh at himself. And his adaptability and flexibility soon have you laughing too. If we want to build bridges, if we want to connect with others, it's best that we be flexible and adaptable, that we can react positively when things don't go our way. Which leads me to another thing we observe about these successful and likable performers. Each of them had an incredible sense of humor. Did anyone have a better smile than Louis Armstrong? Could anyone smile better with a twinkle in his eyes than Jimmy Durante? These two musicians always seemed to find the joy in the moment. And they could laugh at themselves. They didn't take themselves too seriously. One was nicknamed Satchmo, Big Mouth. That's what it means. Satchmo, Big Mouth. The other was named the Great Snozzola, Big Nose. You've got a sense of humor with nicknames like Big Mouth and Big Nose. This kind of spirit and attitude made them humble, vulnerable, and honest. This is the spirit that draws people and builds bridges. And one last thing we can learn from Jimmy and Louie is that your accompaniment can make you. Your accompaniment can make you. They knew that even though they were solo acts, they did not do it alone and could not do it alone. Most of their songs were accompanied by a lot of other great musicians. Joe Cocker recorded one of the Beatles songs and it became a great big hit for him. I Get By With a Little Help From My Friends. How blessed we are to be part of a faith community that helps us play better music and live more meaningful lives. We need each other. And so let us remember all of these things that Louie and Jimmy teach us about connecting with people, building relationships, as we seek to make this a wonderful world.
I see trees of green, yeah, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, baby, baby, baby. And I think to myself, yeah, what a wonderful world. Oh, yeah, baby, baby, baby. I think to myself, what a wonderful world.